Hallelujah. Praise God. Lift your hands to heaven and get another drink. Nothing worse than a straight Christian. Every believer ought to be drunk in the Spirit. And that's what Jesus required. He said, be not drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, religion can't comprehend these things. Oh, we love His presence. It's with His presence, in His presence. Without His presence, we're nothing. I don't care how much word you have. If you're not backed by the anointing, you're still nothing. Nothing. Even the devil knows the Bible. Amen? Oh, he can quote the scriptures and tell you page for page, but he doesn't carry the presence of God. He carries his own presence. He's anti-God's presence. That's what religion does. It brings people anti-presence of God. And we've had enough of religion. That was the most successful thing the devil did, is create religion and bring religion into the earth, where there was rituals. Then it's how much I know instead of who I know. Terrible place to be. Amen. Oh, to God be the glory. Turn to your neighbor and tell him this is your night for revelation and impartation. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory. God is good all the time. All the time. Praise God. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Whew. You know, I really believe that one of the things that the Lord really desires for me and you is to know His presence. To know His presence. See, you can write letters to someone, but there's a difference when you're in their presence, isn't there? You can talk long distance, but there's a difference in the presence. One of the things the Lord wants to do is exchange His presence. He wants our presence, and we want His presence. And that's why we worship, because worship brings the presence of God. Amen? See, if you can't worship, you're not carrying God's presence. Because it's your presence, it's your worship that brings His presence. The Word says, draw near to God, then He'll draw near to you. The Word tells us that He does not hear the prayers of a sinner, but He hears the prayers of a worshiper. Of course, He wants us to know His Word. But His Word, truly, if it's understood, should always bring us to God's presence. It should bring us to a place of humbleness where we say, I want to know You. I want to know Your presence. I want to know You more. Amen? You know, I can't express enough the importance of the presence of God in our life. I could go on for days and talk about the presence of God because I love His presence. And without His presence, I don't want to be here. I don't care how much money, how much materialism, whatever you have. It will never fulfill you like the presence of God will. Never. Whew. Sure is hot in here. Hallelujah. Glory. One was sufficient, dear. Hallelujah. Revelation 12:7. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together, okay? Oh, and what? And war broke out in heaven. Where did war break out? In heaven, in the unseen realm, in spiritual realm. Now, see, what you see now, wars breaking out, is because they broke out in heaven first. You're seeing a battle in the spirit realm being manifested now in the natural realm. So what you're seeing in the natural realm was actually already happening in the spirit realm. And it says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. In other words, something was going on. There was a warfare going on in the spirit. So we see that victory is established by spiritual warfare, isn't it? Victory is established by spiritual warfare. It says, so the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil, and Satan, who what? Deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And we have gone over this many times. So we see that there was spiritual war. There was wars in heaven initiated in the spiritual realm and manifested in the physical realm. All wars have battles, don't they? When there's a war going on, there's a battle. You have a battle every day. The enemy's trying to get you out of position. He's trying to impose religiosity on you. He's trying to bring get you deceived because his greatest weapon is deception and his power is fear. You have a battle every single day. Or the enemy is coming against you in one way or another. It says that he was cast out of the throne of God's presence and he was sentenced to the earth. Is everybody with me? When he was sentenced to the earth, something happened. He deceived Eve, and then Eve deceived Adam. Amen? And he took rulership again of the earth. So right now, we know that the earth is ruled by Satan's kingdom. It's ruled by deception. It's ruled by the presence of evil. So many people think, well, how can Satan's presence be everywhere? Because there are demons and there are angels. They carry the presence of deception. They're carrying Satan's presence. They're carrying evil presence. And they are everywhere. They rule the earth, don't they? Now, there's a difference between omnipresent. Omnipresent means past, present, and future. Evil presence is not past, present, and future. Only God is past, present, and future. Is everybody with me? But Satan's presence, evil presence, is here on the earth and it rules. And his presence is called sin. It's called what? Sin. So the evil sin is the presence of evil. So many people think that it's the act, but the act is not sin. The act is called a transgression. So we see that it is the presence of evil. Is everybody with me? In fact, sin, S-I-N, is self-imposed nature. And we'll talk about that in a second and go further. Go to Genesis chapter 4. So what rules the earth? Sin rules the earth, doesn't it? Sin really rules the earth, the presence of evil. God created the earth, but sin rules the earth. That's why the body of Christ is still here. Without the body of Christ here, it'd be all hell on earth, because the body of Christ is still resisting and holding back Satan's complete control. And Genesis chapter 4, let's read this together. In verse 1, it says what? Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, amen, in the process of time, what happened? Came to pass that Cain brought a what? An offering to the, he brought an offering of fruit to the, of the ground. Hold on a second. Okay. And verse 3, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Amen. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Now, why did the Lord respect Abel and his offering? Because there was blood. Amen. Because he killed a sheep and there was blood. In fact, they already knew what pleased God, because the Lord showed Adam what pleased him before they left the garden. The Lord killed an animal and clothed them. So that tradition of what was pleasing God was passed on to Abel and Cain. One chose to obey God, the other one chose not to. In verse 5, and he did not respect Cain in his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? Verse 7, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies where? In other words, the presence of evil is waiting for you to open the door. Sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should what? You should rule over it. In other words, you should rule over it. Now again, sin lies at the door, opening. This is an opening to your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. In other words, sin wants to possess those things. The presence of evil. Now, I want to talk about two separate things here, because you and I were born in sin. Amen? So sin, S-I-N, is self-imposed nature. So your carnal nature is actually sin, isn't it? Because we are offsprings of Satan's children. We were Satan's children born into this realm. We loved evil. We loved darkness, because that's where we came from, in this realm. We were born in this realm in darkness, but we came from light. But the moment you were conceived in this realm, you lost all memory and all inheritance of where you came from. Is everybody okay? That's why we've been walking in this realm saying, who am I, why am I here, and where am I going? So we see here again that we are born in sin with a self-imposed nature called, it's called the carnal nature or the flesh nature. So there is sin that's within us in the old man, what we were born with, and there is sin that is the presence of evil in the world. So the presence of evil in the world is trying to influence your old man to react, to become alive again. See, when you were born again, those who are led by the Spirit, the old man is crucified. So if you're a believer and you're not being led by the Spirit, your old man is still ruling you. Those are called carnal Christians. There's a difference. Carnal Christians. Is everybody okay? Okay. Let's go to Romans 7. Sin, self-imposed nature. Now, there are victory keys I want to talk about. Victory's keys. How many of y'all want victory in your life? Is everybody okay? You want victory? Amen. Well, one of the things about victory means you got to overcome, don't you? In Romans 7. Hallelujah. That's why we need the presence of God, isn't it? Whew. Romans 7, 7. Let's start at 6. Verse 5. I like that. Let's speak it together. Verse 5, 7, 5. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. For when we are in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Again, this was about the law. Remember, when the law came in with through Moses with the Ten Commandments. The purpose of the law was to expose that there was sin. Other than that, they didn't know it. So the law came in to represent, to expose sin. In other words, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not. In other words, expressing that you're serving sin. So there was a difference of serving the presence of evil compared to serving the presence of God. And it's amazing where so many people do not discern the presence of evil. I'm telling you what, there could be a person who claims to be a Christian and walk up to me and I can discern the presence of evil in that person because they're prideful. They're being led by the flesh and not led by the Spirit. And it's all about them. Me, me, and me. You can sense the presence of evil even in a believer. And it's our responsibility to make what is unseen seen and to sense that presence of evil. Why? Because that presence of evil will come after you. What killed Jesus? The presence of evil, right? Well, where was the presence of evil dwelling? In the religious people, weren't it? Has everybody got it? It was the Pharisees and Sadducees that obeyed the presence of evil to crucify Jesus, although he let it happen. All right, let's go. Verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except for what? Through the law. In other words, I didn't even know that there was a presence of evil except for when the law was exposed. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin taking opportunity by the commandment produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. In other words, without the law, they didn't understand. Sin to them was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I what? Died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. Why? Because it was exposing sin, and the wages of sin is death. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me. Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception. So the presence of evil is always trying to deceive. The presence of evil always brings you to you. Woe is me. What about me? Me, 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 and me. And it promotes pride, doesn't it? For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it killed me. He knew he was on his way to death. Therefore the law is holy, the commandment holy, and just and good. Has when what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am what? I am what? Carnal. In other words, My carnal nature is nothing but the presence of evil, because I am the offspring of Satan. That's why I must be born again. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. What I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. What I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So there is a sin, there's a presence of evil that dwells in us. That presence of evil is known as the old man. So everybody got it? See, there's a battle within you. It's a battle between the old man and a new creation. So that evil influence on the out and in the world is always trying to revive the old man. So there's a battle every day, isn't there? But we want victory, don't we? Oh, hallelujah. Verse 20. Now, if I do what I will to not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find in the law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Everyone say inward man. That's a new creation. But I see another law, my members warn against the law of my mind. That's the carnal man. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. Is everybody with me? But with the flesh, the law of sin. So the mind of Christ serves the law of God, but the flesh serves the presence of evil. Why? Because the flesh is carnal. It is the old man. Is everybody okay? So the law exposed sin, self-imposed nature. That's what we were born with. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. Victory's keys. You know, one of the things of having victory is to have understanding. Amen? So you can have knowledge and not understand it. Because knowledge that is not understood is not truth. Knowledge that is understood is truth. So many people go, well, I read the Bible, so the truth has set me free. Well, then why are you still bound? Why are you still doing the carnal things? Why are you still serving lust? Why are you still using drugs? Why are you still doing these things? Why are you still... Because the old man is still ruling. It's not been crucified. So it means you're not being led by the Spirit or filled by the Spirit. You may know the letter, but the letter kills and the Spirit brings life. Life. Is everybody all right? 1 Corinthians 3, all glory. In verse 1, let's read this together. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to what? Carnal, as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you are not able to receive it. Even now you are still not able. He's talking about Christians that are still carnal. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Like what? Mere men, like those of the world. Are you still behaving like those of the world? Are you still in envy? Are you still chasing after the things of the world? That means you're still carnal, even though you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But you're not in that born-again state of being, where you are filled with the Spirit of God, where the scales are removed, and it is no longer you that live, but He that lives. See, this is where you are now. He is your Lord, because you live for Him. You no longer live for you. I don't live for the Bible. I live for Him. I live for His presence, because His presence carries the word of God. Amen? So the word of God, the Bible that is written, is testimonies of history and things recorded to bring us to the presence of God. Because without the presence of God, you're not going to understand this. Because it's the presence of God, the carrier of the known as the Holy Spirit, that wrote the Bible. So if you don't know the author, you won't understand this. It'll be just another book. And you will quote scriptures not backed by the anointing. And the enemy will laugh at you because he does not see the sword of the Spirit. He sees seeds. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory. Mere men. Believers still acting like mere men. 2 Peter chapter 1. Self-imposed nature. Sin. 2 Peter chapter 1. Glory. In verse 2, let's read it together. Victory's keys. We want victory in every battle. Amen? Every battle. There's a war going on, and we have to have victory. Listen, there's something. Everybody's going through something. It's not that one person's not going through. And when you get through something, there's something else to go through. So welcome to the earth. But the thing is if you learn how to battle, if you'll warfare spiritually, you get through. You'll get through quicker through spiritual warfare than to wait.
I'm waiting on the Lord.
Man, some of you are going to wait till you die. Because the Lord has given us everything. He's already paid the price. He's given me and you access to everything. The word tells us that he put a table in the presence of our enemies. He's anointed our head and our cup runs over. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My own people destroyed for lack of knowledge. He tells us you do not fight flesh and blood, but powers of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places. You are fighting an unseen realm that is influencing you and trying to activate your old man. So there's a battle. Glory. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his what? Divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, where is this divine power? The Bible says that the anointing is the eternal presence, power, and truth. And it is carried by the Holy Spirit. So this divine power is carried by the Holy Spirit, which is the second chamber of the tabernacle. And when you access that and you are baptized in the Spirit, there's a divine power that produces a divine nature. Not a carnal one, a divine one. And verse 3, and as the divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, to the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the what? Divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Through what? Lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. That means control over self. Self-control is control over self. In other words, control over the what? Old man. Why? Because you have divine power. So with divine power, you are able to produce the divine nature because it's taking over the carnal nature. Is everybody with me? See, children are carnal, aren't they? Come on, you remember when you were a kid? Me, mine. I remember bringing my daughter to a house and all the other kids' toys were hers. That's mine! That's mine. Oh, man, it's not yours. But we all did that. Everything you thought was mine was about me, myself, and I. That's the trinity of darkness. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Is everybody okay? In verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. To self-control what? Perseverance. You're going to need to persevere. To perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For these things are yours and abound. If these things are yours and abound, you will what? Come on, speak it with me. You will neither be what? Barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is what? Short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and elect sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The divine nature is to overcome the carnal nature. We must recognize the presence of evil or the sin of the world that influences your old man, self-imposed nature called sin that serves darkness. Victory's keys, the first, actually, it's essential to be able to, the first thing that we must always do is able to overcome self. Overcome your past. Overcome your desires. Overcome your will. Overcome your failures. overcome your fears. You cannot win a battle until you first overcome you. You can't have victory in the battle unless you overcome you. Amen? Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." That's why you and I did not comprehend light. In fact, we thought everybody else was weird. Man, those are straight people. Man, boring people. They're religious. Of course, when you're involved in religion, it is boring. It's nothing but a ritual, no relationship. You don't see changes in life. You just see rituals. "And light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." So the enemy always wants to put you back into darkness. Has everybody got it? Is everybody okay? In verse 14, and it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And grace is not magical or mystical. Grace is the plan of God to escape. And without his plan, and you're not cooperating with it, it's amazing how many people, I hear the preaching of grace all the time. It just blows me away. Grace, grace, grace. Unmerited favor. Oh, so you can just go out and sin and do what you want and go home. Uh-uh. It was a choice that God made because he loved me and you. And he said, you know what? See, God had to forgive us first before he was going to release forgiveness. Does everybody understand that? It was God's desire to dwell with man, not man's desire to dwell with God. Because man did not like the light and only liked darkness. Amen? So the Lord desired. So the only, he said, look, here's the law that exposes the presence of evil, your self-imposed nature called sin. And then the Word representing the law. Has everybody got it? The Word representing the law became flesh. And he came into this realm. He manifested his own blood so that you and I become cleansed. He forgave us and he said, now you need to repent. So when you repent, you are washed by the blood. The blood allows you access to freedom. Has everybody got it? Your repentance doesn't free you. Your repentance allows access for you to be free. Is everybody all right? Darkness could not comprehend light. As you and I were in the darkness, we didn't comprehend it. Amen? Until Jesus came. Is everybody okay? Go to John chapter 3, verse 18. Woohoo! 3:18. Everybody knows the scripture, John 3:16. So God sent the world. But you know, not many people go beyond that. They go 16, 17 and turn the Bible. So we're going to go right to 18. It says, "And he who believes," what's the word believe mean? To follow. Belief is not mystical. It's not magic. It means you follow. If you're following the works of Jesus, you believe. Amen? "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved what? Darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." That's why when you and I were in a world partying, we hated light. We kept the blinds shut. When you were in the bars, you didn't want any lights on because you could see everybody's demons. Man, everybody looked like a creature from somewhere. Red eyes and tongues hanging out. And verse 21. Didn't realize what you were standing next to. Oh, God! I need Jesus. I won't go any further than that. "So everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Because he's carnal. He's born in sin, self-imposed nature, offspring of darkness. "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." So when you and I are running to the truth, running to light, it's amazing in how many believers run from the Lord. They run from the Lord to darkness. run from the Lord to darkness because they feel more comfortable in sin. But it's actually a lie. The torment then started all over again. The cycle starts all over. Because the devil always tries to tell us, you can't do this. And you know what? We can't, but he can. So this is where we must put our trust in him. Sin, oh, hallelujah. Sin loves darkness, doesn't it? Follows darkness. It's under Satan's rule, the presence of evil. Again, the wages of sin is death. And you and I were associated with that. In Revelation 12:10, you will be tempted. You'll be tempted unexpectedly. The devil does not warn you. He does not meet you in the morning and say, hi, I am the devil and I'm going to tempt you today about 3 o'clock. Be ready. No, he attacks you in the dreams, just like a mosquito, you know. You hear it buzzing around in the room. It's like, where are you, varmint? And you're trying to chase it. Man, I'm telling you, I hear a mosquito come in my room. Everything is torn apart until that thing is dead. I'm filet mignon to those mugs. Hallelujah. Revelation 12:10. And you know, do you ever notice when you get bit by a mosquito? It's not like it's right in front of you. It's always somewhere hidden. You know, behind the knees, behind the back, behind the elbow, in the neck. They don't come to you face to face. You know? But you can hear them. It's like, that's what the devil's like. He's like a mosquito. But he's got a very big megaphone. And he likes to talk to us.
Hey, you up there. Do you remember?
That's what he does. Do you remember? He always tries to bring you to your past. Do you remember this? Do you remember that? Man, all of a sudden memories come from, especially when you start worshiping. Oh my God, some of the most lustful, disgusting things start hitting you. Some of the sins, some of the things of the past, people you never haven't seen or thought of in years, all of a sudden comes up in your face. And that's where you got to take them captive. That's when you got to praise more. Don't go there. Just sing more. Who cares? But of course, some people can't even open their mouth. They still got their religious state of silence. I'm silent before the Lord. No, he said, shout in his presence. Revelation 12:10. Let's read it together. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God when? Day and night has been cast down. Look at man, you're being accused day and night. He's persecuting you day and night. He's always saying something. He's shooting fiery darts at you. You're in a war. And the only way to have victory is to be in the war. In verse 11. And it says that they overcame him by the what? The blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Ooh. So how did they overcome? They overcame by the blood. Keeping the blood activated. By what? Repentance. Lord, forgive me. Utilizing the blood to apply. Amen? You're keeping things activated. How do you keep things activated? By what you speak. So the devil wants to put your own sock in your mouth. And that don't taste good. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb by keeping it activated by repentance with a humble spirit. Never think you know it all. None of us has made it. None of us knows it all. In fact, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know nothing. So they overcame by keeping the blood activated. They overcame by eternal words. Eternal. This is not just the word of their testimony, what God has done for them. This is the word of the testimony of Jesus Christ and what he has done. Words, these are eternal words of new creation. And of course, this is, and they did not love their lives to death. That means deny yourself. So, victory is established first by overcoming you, your old man, your old desires, your old emotions. Your old memories, again, failures, ways, religion, fears, even relationships and associations, old places and lusts, all of these old things. One of the things the devil always wants to do is try to move you out of God's time. He tries to get you to call someone it's not time to call. He tries to get you to associate or go to a place or whatever it is when it's not God's time. See, the devil pushes, the spirit leads. The devil pushes, the spirit leads. The devil pushes, the spirit leads. In 1 John chapter 5. Is everybody there? Is everybody all right? Victory's keys. There's multiple keys in victories. There's many things that we can utilize, but there are certain bases. The first thing that we must do is overcome ourselves, the old man. And you will do that by, first of all, one of the things is acknowledging the presence of evil. You know, this is not what carnal senses. This is what the senses of the Spirit. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, would you read it with me? Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Wow. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That's another state of being. It's a born-again state of being. That's through the anointing. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Faith is not blind. It is spiritual sight. Faith, when people tell me, well, yeah, I'm doing this by blind faith. Well, you're an idiot. Spiritually blinded. There's no such thing as blind faith. When Jesus tells you something to do, you see it, then you do it. That's called faith. Jesus said the same thing. I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. There must be revelation, confirmation that this is what God has said. When God says it, then you do it. If he ain't said it, you don't do it. You don't go by what you feel or what you think or what someone says. Amen? Verse 5, and he who overcomes the world, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. So we overcome the world by faith, that is spiritual sight. 1 Peter chapter 5. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Be sober. Hello, when you're sober, able to see. Yeah, able to hear. Are your senses sensitive? You're able to discern. You're able to focus on more things, aren't you, when you're sober? Well, the enemy likes to get you in a dull state. Likes to start putting the blinders back on. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It says, resist him steadfast in the what? Faith. So you got to be able to spiritually see, but you got to be able to spiritually hear. Knowing that the same sufferings, everyone say sufferings, are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have what? Suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Why is that? Because your sufferings are what are going, it's what's going to teach you. Jesus said something profound. The word says that he learned through his sufferings. He learned through his what? Sufferings. Wow. Go to John 16 for a second. Your sufferings here are your tribulations, your mistakes, things that you messed up on, even your failures. But the word says all things will work to the good to those who love the Lord. John 16 and verse 31. Let's speak it together. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may what? Have peace. In me you have peace. In relationship, in fellowship, in his presence, you will have peace. In the world you will have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So in the world you will have tribulation. You're going to have suffering in this world. That's why he says, abide in me. Abide in my presence, and you will have peace. Go to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, 28. Hallelujah. Victory's keys. Matthew 11, 28. Let's speak it together. Is everybody there? Come on, let's speak it. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In other words, your sufferings. What's he saying? Come on, get in my presence. I'm going to give you some rest. I'm going to refresh you. Get in my presence. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and what? Learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, we must learn. Let me share something with you. Freedom is learned. It truly is learned. Because there is no victory without spiritual warfare. So you must learn spiritual warfare. And you must learn what is the tactic of my enemy. What is the presence of my enemy? What is the presence of evil? You must know these things and sense these things. So you'll see them coming. You'll sense them coming. You'll know what's coming. The Bible tells us, the Spirit tells us all things to come. So if you're in the Spirit, if you're in His presence, you're going to know something's coming. He will prepare you. God never does not prepare you for battle. He always prepares you if you are listening, if you are hearing, and if you're seeing. There should be no battles that are not won. The only reason why battles are lost is because in the flesh. You can't win the battle in the flesh. They are won in the Spirit. Is everybody okay? Hebrews 10. A couple more and we're done. Hebrews 10. Okay, so here's the keys. I want to share something, two things again. We talked about acknowledging the presence of God. We know that there's got to be spiritual warfare. We know that we need to repent. And so we've got to overcome ourselves. We got to overcome the old. Listen, when you overcome the old, there's something that you do. You pursue your enemy. You don't wait for your enemy to attack you. You cannot pursue your enemy until you've overcome you. You overcome yourself, you pursue the enemy. You overcome yourself, you pursue the enemy. See, you cannot spiritually fight until you overcome yourself, which allows you to pursue your enemy. Does everybody got it? So when you say, I'm struggling, well, what are you struggling with? Well, I've got this, I've got that. So you better first come overcome yourself, then you can attack it. Does everybody got it? You pursue it till it's done. You pursue it till its head's crushed and that thing runs, because that's all you're doing is hearing the voice of a demon. Those are spirits. These are not imaginations. Has everybody got it? These are demons, the presence of evil. Demons carry the presence of evil. That's why Jesus cast them out of people. That's why the Bible says, and those who believe in me and follow me, the first thing they will do is cast out devils. Mark 16, 16 through 18. Those who believe in me, those who follow me, those who walk in my presence, those who are filled with my Spirit, those who love me, they will cast out demons because they will sense the presence of evil. The Bible says, hate evil. Don't pet it. Don't play with it. Get rid of it. Amen? Again, don't pet it. Don't play with it. Get rid of it. Expose it. We're to expose darkness, aren't we? Is pride evil? Yeah. Personal reverence unto a deadly end. P-R-I-D-E. It's associated with the self-imposed nature, the presence of evil. It feeds it. Hebrews 10:32. Is everybody there? Oh, hallelujah. So we must overcome ourselves and pursue your enemy, evil. Hebrews 10:32. Let's speak it together. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings after you got saved. Let me tell you, after you get saved, do you think the enemy is just going to sit back? No. Uh-oh, they're saved. I can't do nothing now. Now, those demons that are still in you want to run you. All the rooms need to get cleaned out. It's amazing how many people refuse to go through deliverance. They still haven't overcome themselves because demons are still there. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by the reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and are enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you are in need of what? Endurance. So after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just live by faith. And if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back to perdition, but to those who believe in the saving of the soul. Psalm 18. Hallelujah. Psalm 18. Verse 31. And let's speak this together, please. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength. and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make what? War, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. Verse 36. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. Verse 37. Read it together. I have pursued my enemies and have overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again until they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with the strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine to the dust before the wind. I cast them out like dirt in the streets. Here's a man who hated evil. He pursued his enemy, but the first thing he had to do is overcome himself. You overcome you, then you pursue your enemy. You overcome you, then you pursue your enemy. You cannot pursue your enemy without first overcoming you. It won't work. And I want to close at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We serve the presence of God and pursue the presence of evil to destroy it. Amen? The Bible says that we are more than conquerors, and he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Where it says we can do all things through Christ, the anointing that strengthens us. We are ambassadors to the kingdom. We are stewards to the mysteries of God, and we are servants to the anointing. We serve the anointing. The anointing does not serve us. It's time we grow up. It's time we got filled up, time we got strengthened up, empowered up, and stood up so that we can overcome ourselves and pursue our enemy. Yes. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit corruption, incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that was written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Look at this. The sting of death is what? Sin, the presence of evil. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Who gives us the victory? The Lord. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Victory is established by overcoming yourself and everything associated with your old and pursuing your enemy. Amen? Let's grab hold of this and begin to put it into place. Begin to practice it. That's why every morning you should be attacking your enemy. That's why every morning spiritual warfare is essential. If you're not attacking, listen, I truly believe in first strike. You should strike first before you're struck. That's called pursuing your enemy. Amen? There's an area where you're in offense. There's a time when you go in defense, but you're always in offense. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We give you all the glory, all the honor and praise. I pray that this word will be protected by the blood, that it will grow and bear fruit for your glory, that you bring this to remembrance and bring this to practice. I want to thank all the listeners and all the viewers tonight. And if you need any more information, you can go to eternallibrary.org where there's over 900 teachings. And I encourage you, fight. Because we need to fight more now than we ever have. The battle is raging and the war is continuing. To the day we leave this place. And to God be all the glory. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.